Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is Chris, and we're still in the highway mode, highway patrol mode, and we're burning down the road. We're getting towards Albury on our way to Melbourne. And again, another podcast. I hope you're enjoying these rather fiery, good experiences. Keep me awake and keep you on track podcasts. And please share them with your friends, and make sure at the end of the podcast, please score them and give them a lovely high rating so Apple thinks I'm wonderful and the world gets to hear more of what we generate out of this beautiful work. The inner wealth is an amazing science, and I've spent 45 years developing it and traveling through the Himalayas and working with American gurus and healers and psychologists to create it. And what I believe I've created using nature as a model is the shortcut through the middle of the mire, the shortcut through spirituality, the shortcut through success, the shortcut to love, the shortcut to feeling good about ourselves. And therefore, I believe it's really worthwhile applying, because as the world goes faster and technology takes over, we need to be better versions of ourselves. We need to be the best version of ourselves. And what I teach in the inner wealth work is process, not result. Process is key, because we go through frustration, we will always introduce ourselves to a new challenge. It's a myth that you think you're going to go to a workshop, spend $20,000 on a Tony Robbins program and come out and never have a mental or emotional or financial or spiritual or career drama again. You will have drama after drama. The question is, how long do they last? The question is, how quick do you get through it? The question is, how strong do you stay when the going is easy? Because when the going's easy, people relax. That's my awareness. When the going is easy, people relax. They go, everything's going on track. I don't need coaching anymore. But that's the time you do it. That's the time you do need to be working on your inner wealth. Today's topic is inspiration. I think all of us need to type or staple or tattoo the word inspired on our forehead. I think the word inspired is a label that we could all carry forward throughout our whole life. We could give it to our children, we can give it to our team at work, we can give it to our clients and say, I'm inspired. I'm inspired by you, I'm inspired by my chosen sport, I'm inspired by my work, I'm inspired by my relationship, I'm inspired by where I live. Inspired is a beautiful word, but let's just break it down and work out what inspired really means. Inspired is the top of the pyramid for a start. So at the word inspired, what we're saying is, I'm doing what I love. I'm loving what I do. I'm doing what I love and I'm loving what I do, irrespective of what it is. So even if we're digging in the garden or playing marbles with some Nepalese children, we can be inspired if we're willing to find the essence of what we're doing, if we're willing to affirm and say, this is inspirational. This moment in time is inspiration. There's love and joy and happiness and kindness and goodness in a moment, every moment, no matter how the circumstance, no matter what the situation, we have the capacity to flip it into being inspired. Let me just say, here's some hints how to do it. Number one, whatever happens in the world, no matter what you're doing, driving a car, flying in an aeroplane, sitting in a movie theater, going on the bus, walking in the park, paddling on a ski, going in the mountains, you have the ability to link this to your highest priority. What's your highest priority? Well, for some people, it's their relationship. For some people, it's their work. For some people, it's building wealth. If you can link what you're doing to your highest priority, you will feel inspired by doing it. The second thing about being inspired is being eternally grateful for the opportunity that's being presented. Gratitude brings us from the past into the present. The past is such a wound. The past is such a wound. And when we remember the past without gratitude for it, it sucks us back down into a pit as black and soily. And in the Bible, this is called hell. Hell is ingratitude for the past. Ingratitude for the past is the poison that turns people's intestines. It turns people's immune system. It turns people's financial statements. It turns their performance at work into a rubbish heap. Ingratitude for the past. So we must deal with our past, all the way back to our parents. There can be nothing that's ever happened to us that we're not thankful for. Even the most poison, even the most toxic environment has a gift, and we can't change the past. So why not be thankful for it? Because it's delivered us a special, special skill, a special, special ability, a special, special something that we can take forward with us. Everything in the past is a gift. Everything. And if we don't do this, if we try and leave it behind or not make contact with the past or release the past or not even be associated with the past, what we're basically saying is we're going to bog ourselves down and we will not be able to perform at any level in our level of life, at any level inspired. We will be always desperate. We will always be struggling and trying. Why? Because we're carrying a great big Santa Claus Christmas sack of bullshit from the past with us wherever we go. Whether we're climbing a mountain, whether we're running a company, we must deal with and be thankful for the past. Some people got more baggage than others from their past, but at the end of the day, we all got something, and we must at some stage in our life put our hand up in the air and say, I'm carrying anger, I'm carrying disappointment, I'm carrying frustration, I'm carrying judgment, I'm carrying criticism, I'm carrying negativity, I'm carrying criticism of, I'm carrying rejection of the past. And when we do that, we need a process. The process is the discard process. We need to discard whatever we're carrying and make sure we turn up in this moment thankful for every single second that has transpired till now. Because guess what? We can't change it. We can only re-perceive it and tell the story differently. The next thing about being inspired in this present moment is to be absolutely 100% here, right here, now, present. That means we're not thinking what's going to happen at the end of the next 10 minutes. We're not thinking about what's going to happen in the end of the next 2 minutes. What we're thinking about is the sensory experience of being here now. How does it feel to be right here, right in this moment? This is the Zen. Zen brings all the five senses, taste, touch, smell, sight, sound, into one object, this moment in time. The athlete who runs feels their feet, smells the air, sees the track, feels the environment, senses with all the five senses this one moment in time. They bring their whole being. They're not smelling one thing, running on one thing, feeling one thing, all separate. They're bringing them all into one moment. Absolute presence is a profound and beautiful moment, because at the end of the day, this is called listening. It's called reception. And when you're listening, when you're aware, when you're in the zone, in the moment, fully present, you are powerful. You are incredibly attractive. You are incredibly in your own strength. And nobody can take that away if you know how to bring all the senses into one moment. The exercise I use for this is to take a rose, smell it, break a petal off, taste it, look at it, feel it, crush it between your fingers, and have a full witnessing of the rose. The full witnessing of the rose. Practice and practice. Do it with a stone. You can't crush it. Well, monks in Nepal can. But still, hold the stone. Feel, smell, taste, touch. All these things with a stone. You can do this over and over, even eating a meal at night, instead of talking your way through it, or flipping through your phone, or going through the internet, or talking about something completely tangential. Chew, smell, see, feel, taste. It is profound. Presence is magic. The third element of inspiration is certainty. Absolute certainty. Muhammad Ali, I am the greatest. Was there any confusion in Muhammad Ali's mind when he said, I am the greatest? He even spoke it on television to a billion people. No fear, no shyness, no withholding back. This is how we have to have certainty. Where am I going? Why am I here? Who am I? Where have I been? The four core questions of complete certainty. Certainty is a vision. Certainty is knowing what's in your heart. Certainty is just the most powerful and beautiful experience. Now, I'm not talking about knowing what you want. I'm not talking about drawing a vision quest and drawing a dream board about what's possible that you want. I'm talking about knowing that you know, 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 that you know you're on your destiny. You're on your path. You may not know the speed bumps. You may not know the obstacles that are coming, but you know you're on your path. You know you're on your way. You're doing your purpose. You're living your vision quest. And you can change that vision. Of course you can, but you know you're on path. Certainty. The five laws of nature, you can be absolute certainty, with absolute certainty that they exist. There's two sides to everything. Everything evolves. Nothing's ever missing. The law of vibration, everything goes to a rhythm, and the one and the many. You know those five laws, and you can use those five laws over and over. There's absolute certainty they exist. You can stake your claim on that for sure. And finally, love. I've mentioned it earlier in this about being inspired. Love. Doing what you love, loving what you do, and being paid an extraordinary amount of money for doing it. This is inspiration. This is inspired. Doing what you love, loving what you do, and being paid an extraordinary amount of money for doing it. That's the commitment you make. That's the commitment you make. It validates inspiration. It validates love. It validates you, and it validates everything you're working on. So yeah, I'm just going, see, talk about validation and love. There's the police car sitting on the side of the road taking photos. That's really nice of them. But I'm doing 110, so I'm safe on cruise control. Love. I love the police because they're catching the bad guys. There you go. Love. Doing what you love, loving what you do. When you're in the midst of the storm at work and they ask you to work back till midnight and you're tired and you're not feeling the very best and you're feeling a little bit run down and you're feeling a bit resentful of your boss, stop the process. Sit back and say, how do I love this? How do I bring my energy of love and inspiration into this moment in time? Because if you don't, you'll sabotage it. That's so important. Inspired is such a gift, and I believe you, the listener to this podcast right now, are inspired. I believe that that's what the natural condition of a great human being doing their thing in the world, working to be the best version of themselves, will be inspired. An inspired person inspires other people. An inspired person becomes a lighthouse to others. An inspired person, actually, you can feel it, it's magnetic. And it's intimidating. It's intimidating to be around an inspired person. So even others will start to compliment you. Nobody treats you better than you treat yourself. You are inspired. Treat yourself as an inspired person. Eat like an inspired person. Stand like an inspired person. Talk like an inspired person. Walk with inspired pace. Drive with inspired concentration. Think and talk and give and share with inspiration. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Bye for now.